Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Hello and welcome to Real Living in Espirito with Mary Lou Nemechek, and we are going to continue our conversation today that we started last time on Ralph Martin, Dr. Ralph Martin's from Renewal Ministry, his September newsletter. If you want to check it out, you can go to renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. And look up the September newsletter, and it's the front page. It says, Our Manifesto, A Look Forward. It's exceptional. I think it mirrors what you and I think, Mary Lou. I'm always grateful to Ralph when he articulates what we're all thinking, you know.
Let him write it down, right?
In a great sort of succinct way, a very, just a great way, you know. I was blessed two weeks ago. And spent some time with Ralph and with his wife, Anne, and Peter Herbeck and all those guys up there at Renewal Ministries. And they definitely wanted to know who had read the manifesto. I was able to say, We not only have read it, we've been doing radio shows on it, you know?
Well, I imagine he's gotten a lot of feedback on it.
Yes, apparently it's been overwhelmingly positive.
Good.
Which, as you might imagine, because, you know, I don't know. Sometimes the absence of negative feedback is not really feedback because it's the choir reading the newsletter, you know?
Right.
I don't think you have Father James Martin reading this newsletter, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or anybody like that. So anyway, he basically bases it on Cardinal Müller, who is a German cardinal, in which he just goes through the basics, which I thought was pretty good. And now what's a manifesto? A manifesto, or from Italian, manifesto. Il manifesto is like a poster. That would be the closest thing. It's a poster that kind of enumerates basic principles, right? So that's what this manifesto is. It's the times are trying. There's stuff going on that is bringing confusion to many. There's stuff going on that is scandalizing a lot of people. There's stuff going on that may be turning people off to the faith. And meanwhile, there are some insidious voices from inside the church preaching against the teaching of the church. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Would you say it any differently, Mary Lou?
I wouldn't. And when people say that they're confused, they are, because they're hearing different things that they can't decipher what is true and not true and what to believe and not to believe. And it is a problem. There's a lot of information out there right now.
In the words of Ralph, we are facing a very grave decline in the life of the church. The consequences for the church and the world will not be good if we lose our salt and we use our light. Obviously, he's paraphrasing the words of Jesus in the Gospels, right?
Right.
You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world, of the earth. But if you do not give light, and if you lose your flavor, you know, if you use your particularly Christian savor, then, you know, you're no good. The statistics are not improving. It's funny because Ralph was saying about how years ago when he was doing his Crisis of Truth series, he would travel around and use statistics in order to scare people, right? To show them how bad it was. Years ago, I used to make use of statistics to try to wake people up to the seriousness of our situation and to elicit a greater generosity and clarity of response to Jesus. But after a certain point, he says, I stopped using statistics because almost everybody knows the situation is bad. They didn't need any more convincing, but that still hasn't, it hasn't seemed to trickle down to the base, as they said, you know. There's a 49% decline in infant baptisms. There's a 54% decline in Catholic marriages. And I suppose this is in the United States. There's a 46% decline in First Communions, a 49% decline in enrollment in Catholic grade schools, and a 48% decline in K-12 religious education classes.
Well, I think that's why Cardinal Mueller did this, because, you know, he laments that today many Christians are no longer even aware of the basic teachings of the faith. So there is a growing danger of missing the path to eternal life. So that's what Ralph is trying to do, is to shed that Christ light, as Cardinal Mueller is, so that we know what the path is and the direction and how to get there. And in today's church, you know, the light has gone out in many places.
Right. If you want to look at Cardinal Mueller's Manifesto of Faith, you can Google it. Now, Mueller is spelled M-U-L-L-E-R. You can Google it. I found it on the National Catholic Register's website.
Yes.
With commentary, which is always helpful. But if you could basically just Google the Manifesto of Faith, and just so you know what the kinds of things that he's not giving, some high theological treatise for those of you who might be scared, you know, like you're not going to get it. It's very, very basic. He's saying silence is the greatest deception. It's a growing confusion about the doctrine of the faith. Many bishops, priests, religious, and lay people of the Catholic Church have requested that I make a public testimony about the truth of Revelation. It is the shepherd's very own task to guide those entrusted to them on the path of salvation. This can only succeed if they know this way and follow it themselves, which, yeah, you know. So he's very basic. Number one, the Trinity revealed in Jesus. Number two, the church. Number three, the sacramental hierarchical order. Very, very important, which seems to be so misunderstood. Number four, the moral law. Faith and law in life are inseparable.
Right.
For faith apart from works is dead. How else? The moral law is not a burden, but part of that liberating truth through which Christian walks on the path of salvation. Number five, eternal life. Yes, there is going to be eternal life. And do not be deceived, or that everybody's going to get in, or stuff like that. Six is the call, which is, of course, the call to mission and to evangelization. So, I think those are the main points of Cardinal Mueller's manifesto. If you want to go and check Ralph Martin's manifesto in his September newsletter at renewalministries.net, you can go there as well, because that's what we are discussing. He references Cardinal Mueller's, and he kind of gives his own little state of the union address for Renewal Ministries, which is a lay Catholic ministry of evangelization, basically mission to the nations, that has been going on for 35 years. I think actually the next anniversary is going to be 40 years. But anyway, and they've been so faithful. And as you and I know, we know many of the people who collaborate with Renewal Ministries, and they've actually expanded their umbrella to include several youth and young adult. It's just so encouraging to see what they're doing in the face of all the confusion, you know?
It is.
So what he's saying is, we firmly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. So he gives the bad news. So let's just, you know, I think you all know the bad news. We're not going to, you know, belabor the point. But what he's saying is negligence and infidelity. So basically, it's the usual deal. Negligence and infidelity are being exposed. Corruption and cowardice are being unveiled. Either we will turn to the Lord in repentance, or the unraveling will continue. We may indeed be reduced to a remnant. You know what? Doing Isaiah, the word remnant has so many, has so much. It just resounds so much, because in Isaiah's case, the remnant basically is from the Babylonian captivity. That's the main reason of the main definition of a remnant in Isaiah. But it's also a definition of those few who have stayed faithful. So that's,
it's very disheartening to think that we might be reduced to a remnant.
But you know, in a certain way, I'm kind of excited, because I am so sick, to use strong language, I am so sick of the so-called Catholic majority that votes with the culture of death and that thinks nothing of floating down the river of the other dead bodies of the culture. And there is no difference. Like, they say they're Catholic. They, in the census forms, they check the Catholic box, but they don't act like it. And what is it going to take for people to, you know, to actually receive Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and to really commit their lives to him? Because that's kind of what it means to be a Catholic. Being a Catholic does not mean my last name ends in O, So therefore, I'm a Catholic, and I kind of go to Mass occasionally, and that's the way it goes, which is unfortunately the way a lot of people understand religion in general, like it's some sort of cultural box you check. But you and I are here to say that you can't, you know, it's funny, the reading in the Liturgy of the Hours for today, the prayer of the church, morning prayer, is all about, if you're not with me, you're against me. There yes. are no fence sitters. There is no neutral. There is no, I don't believe in abortion, but I can't impose my beliefs on others. There isn't any of that. It's either you stand with the Lord Jesus or you don't.
Well, we stand on the truth. The church provides the truth. And so, you know, you can't absolve yourself by sharing that with someone that might not know it. It's terrible how quiet we Catholics are in so many situations. And we can't have that anymore, because that's what's contributed to all of this, is just being silent. And that's why both of these men are writing this, because we cannot be silent anymore.
Well, let's call it what it is. It's cowardice.
Yeah.
You know,
again,
in Isaiah, we've been talking about cowardice, and what is cowardice, you know, in this case? It's the absence of the virtue of courage and fortitude, which is a cardinal virtue, which guards prudence, which guards a properly ordered life. Everybody just wants to keep their head down, you know? Nobody wants right. to be tarred with the brush of, you know, judgmental or intolerant or bigoted or, you know, whatever it is that the culture at large thinks about people of faith, specifically Christians, purchase in the public forum, but not Catholic, definitely, and not Christian. And also what Ralph points out is that God has allowed his people to be purified in the past. And if you know anything about Isaiah, you see that the Lord uses the Gentile pagan nations to govern and to discipline his chosen people, his children, who had kind of gone off the reservation in terms of idolatry, in terms of oppression of the poor, in terms of, you know, turning away the words of the prophets, in terms of just general social disintegration.
So there were consequences to their choices,
yes.
correct? So
yes, there's
isn't that what we're all faced with today?
Yes, there's consequences.
We're reaping those consequences now.
So the remnant, there is this idea of the remnant whereby the church will become smaller, because in a certain point there is, I think God is using the pagans. He's using, lawyers who are trying to recruit clients, you know, who may or may not have a case. He's using a whole collection of actors to discipline his church. Why? Because his church did not discipline herself. That's a very important point. In God's perfect time, the unrepentant wicked will be judged, in the words of Ralph. But God has often allowed his people to be purified and pruned in this way, which, yes, if you look at that, just look at the Protestant Reformation. Talk about a pruning. Talk about a disaster, you know.
No kidding.
But, why? Because the church would not self-correct. Like, the things, the reforms that would have helped quite a bit, actually were passed at a council, an ecumenical church council, in the early 1500s. At that time, you know, it's hard for the kind of reform to trickle down in any timing at all. But in any case, what he's saying is the Lord is powerfully working, drawing people into a deep relationship with himself and with one another. And you and I, Mary Lou, are here to testify to that fact, that even in the face of great evil, even in the face of confusion, even in the face of an apostate culture, even in the face of, you know, all the stuff that we're hearing, God is drawing people to himself. And that is the best thing, I think. God is in heaven. He is not surprised. He is not dismayed that, you know, all this crisis didn't kind of catch him on the back foot, right?
Right.
Jesus isn't up there in heaven saying, holy cow, I didn't know that, you know. The future belongs to the Lord. The future belongs to the Lord. And so I think that's kind of where that's our starting point. Who wrote a while back about the need of the church to be simplified and the church would be purified. And I think we've kind of kidded ourselves in, you know, under Benedict the 16th and John Paul II, that somehow we dodged the bullet, you know?
Right.
But, you know, And God bless, and we love our Holy Father, Pope Francis. God is using him. We can't quite see the fruit of what's going on. I mean, actually, we can see the fruit because, I mean, his preferential thing for the poor and his wanting to reach out to the people who are at the margins of society and his emphasis on evangelization. I mean, there's all a bunch of good stuff that's going on, but because of his the way that he expresses those truths, sometimes there is some confusion, and there is also confusion with some of the teaching that we're hearing from the dissident theologians, etc. So, but there is. So, what do we call this? We call it a trial. I would say, wouldn't you call this a trial?
Yes, I totally agree with that. And I think that's why, you know, we're always talking about, gosh, this confusion or something that we've read. Because, again, there's so much information out there. And that's it's good because in today's society, we have so much access to through the blogs, through radio, through EWTN, through so many different sources. You know, I sit in my car. If I'm driving, I'm listening to, you know, a religious station. The information is out there for us. Mm-hmm. And but then we come upon these things or we hear something that perhaps the Pope has said, and our interpretation is something that we're questioning because we're not quite clear on where he's going with certain things. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's a basis for why a lot of people feel a little bit uneasy, because we want the truth. We want a clear path. We want everybody on the ship with us, sailing to the right place, the right port. And I think today we all feel like, and when we watch the news and when we watch the Catholic politicians and what they're professing, you just want to shake your head and say, I can't be doing this.
Yeah. But that's the fruit of cultural Catholicism, unfortunately. I think cultural Catholicism, like Catholicism kind of is a fallback ethnic cultural preference, it may have worked in the past, but it no longer works now as the culture and society and the political system and everything really militates against Christian principles, you know?
Well, you know,
more and more we're just being lambasted for holding basic truths of the faith.
Well, we have to direct everything towards God, everything, no matter what we're doing, whether we're working, whether we're resting, whether we're whatever we may be doing in life. He comes first. Remember those bands that we used to wear on our wrists? What would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like we need those once again to remind us every day of,
yeah,
you know, where do we place our values, our treasure? And I think that's why there's so much unrest in society today, because our material things are not making us happy. family situations with children that have turned away from the faith has caused us great distress. I mean, there's just so much going on and so many avenues that people are taking today that call us to be wary and concerned and you know, I think many times we don't see the church clearing that clear path for us. So they're not exhibiting the authority that I thought they exhibited as I was growing up.
Right. Well, their authority has been compromised because of the gruesome ridiculousness that has been revealed at the very highest echelons of the church, like the mess in Rome and the mess in the Curia and all that stuff. This is, let's close the show out with the words of Benedict the 16th. It seems certain to me that the church is facing very hard times. The real crisis has scarcely begun. We will have to count on terrific upheavals. But, and this is what Benedict says, I am equally certain that what will remain at the end will be the church of faith. She may well no longer be the dominant social power to the extent that she was until recently, but she will enjoy a fresh blossoming and be seen as a man's home where he will find hope beyond death. And that is what we wish for all of you out there, life and hope beyond death. Thank you for joining us.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.